life, so they would lift one, but, you know, lots of sensitive habitat in the area.
Well.
Great. All right, everyone, thank you for coming out today. This meeting is for the Carsworth Living Shoreline project. If you're not here for that, which I assume all of you are, if you're not, you're welcome to stay, but you can also leave. Tonight's meeting is being audio recorded. This recording will be posted on OPZ's website within 24 hours of the meeting. I am going to amend that statement because tomorrow is a holiday and OPZ is closed. It will be up on Monday, more than likely. Questions and comments will be addressed at the end of this meeting, but please hold any questions or comments you have until the end of the meeting. And then if you all want to ask more questions up to 14 days beyond tonight's meeting, which is actually also Monday, you can submit them through this link. I'm Katie Arafola with the Department of Public Works. I'm just going to go ahead and introduce people. This is Bruce Brucci from Recreation and Parks, along with Karen Jarvo. And Rich, I'm not going to try and say your last name.
Yeah, Rich Levin
here. And then we also have Anna and Skylar from Bayland, who is our design consultant for this project. Gonna turn it over to you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Anna Johnson. I'm a coastal engineer with Bayland Consultants. So I will kind of go through what the purpose of the project and the meeting in particular tonight is. We're going to discuss the project, why we're implementing this particular project, what are some of the project features, and then, of course, answer any questions that you guys may have. So I'll start by giving a little bit of a background and then talk about the existing conditions of the park, some of the proposed design components, and then we'll talk about schedule and contact information if you think of any questions in the next couple of days. So the project is located along the Rhodes River at Cars Wharf, at the end of Cars Wharf Road. Currently the park amenities are a fishing pier, recreational pier, and a kayak launch where you can just kind of walk through and launch your kayaks. The park itself is about 0.7 acres, and of that, about 420 linear feet of shoreline. There is currently a project. When is the ADA improvements project starting?
We are awaiting handrails. They will be in July, beginning of July.
Okay, so very, very soon there's a current project that's going to be implemented that has some ADA improvements to the pier and some parking and things of that nature. That's county's initiative, but it's separate from this particular presentation. We're just looking at the existing shoreline and the deteriorating bulkhead that's kind of runs along this marsh area. So that bulkhead is in pretty rough shape. You can see there's lots of sinkholes that are forming behind it, which means that there's holes in the sheeting and sediment is just going through, and so is water just coming back and forth. So something needs to be done to kind of provide some shoreline protection to this area. It's about 370 linear feet and it's causing erosion and scour in the very area that it's supposed to be protecting. Also, something that was observed and is going to be addressed as part of this initiative is that there's really no fishing equipment on site. So there's what I think the county is assuming is people are actually putting holes to act as like fishing rod holders and things like that, improvised fishing rod holders. So as part of this project, we're looking at utilizing living shoreline techniques to protect the shoreline where there's the existing bulkhead. This has multiple benefits in that it'll help protect the bulkhead. It's a more of a sustainable, self-sustaining system that's not going to deteriorate over time, such as a timber bulkhead does. And it also has habitat values that it adds to the area because it provides habitat for, marsh critters and birds and other fisheries that use the area. We're trying to implement this project to avoid impacting that non-tidal wetland that's directly behind the existing bulkhead. that falls into what's called the critical area buffer. So there's the critical area commission that has to be considered, as well as Maryland Department of the Environment non-title group, which is separate from the title group. So in an effort to minimize impacts to resources, that's one of the goals, is to not touch that wetland there. And then also just increasing the resiliency along Carr's Wharf. So if, you know, if the bulkhead fails, then that wetland becomes vulnerable, and then other, the, you know, the almost the new features that are going to be implemented in the near future become vulnerable as that happens. And then also improve recreational fishing opportunities along the wharf. So per the meeting code, some of the things that are part of this code requirement is this is being funded through a capital improvements project, so it's all county funds. The address is 1001 Carr's Wharf Road. It's the county-owned park. We have not applied for grading permits yet. That'll be in the next phase, which is actually we'll need two county permits, and it won't be a grading permit, so that's in the next phase. It's an R2 zoning, residential zoning, and for the critical area designation, it's called a resource conservation area. So there's additional restrictions on what can be done in this area because of that. So then there's some things like sewer and water type is not applicable. There's no schools impacted, no new lots associated with this project. It's a shoreline improvements project. No road reconfiguration, a very small limit of disturbance, so there'll be very little impact to the actual land. No modifications needed. And then the only environmental feature on site that will be impacting is the tidal wetlands, which is where the project is actually going, with sand fill and marsh, and I'll discuss that on the next slides. So this is basically what the project is going to look like. If this area here is the road that comes down right here, here's the pier just for reference. So we're going to put a stone structure out here, and that's going to act as the first line of defense to protect the marsh and add that resiliency component. And then we'll have a large marsh buffer here in this area. It's pretty shallow and pretty flat going out, so we can actually do quite a big kind of marsh area in this area. But then as we move kind of north, I guess northwest, it starts getting deeper and deeper. So we have to bring this in, or we would be filling a lot of sand and stone to kind of get the footprint. And then we're also going to add this what's called green riprap. So it's just a little bit of extra, because we don't have this nice wide buffer that we have here, it's much smaller there. The bulkhead in this area just needs a little bit more protection so that it's completely covered and protected. So it's basically green riprap is just stone that's put down, but then it's completely covered with sand and planted. So you still have the protection of the stone, but you have the habitat value of the marsh planted on top of it. So this is just a cross-sectional, like pie slice type of what this will look like. So here's the existing bulkhead here, and we'll have the sand fill and the marsh plantings out there. And then this is the protection, the stone structure out here. And the sand is actually going to come up right to the top of the bulkhead so that eventually over time that this kind of the existing wetland and the new wetland will start to kind of mesh together a little bit so that you can't even see that there was a bulkhead there. As we move along the bulkhead northwest, we get really, really deep waters right here. So in that area, it's really not practical to do a living shoreline. So we're going kind of back to more hardened structures. But instead of doing a bulkhead, we're going to do a revetment, which is just, this is a picture of it. It's just stones that are placed up against it. Some fabric is lined right here so that you don't continue to lose material here. And then you place stones in there. So that has it has the benefit where it kind of breaks up the wave energy a little better. And then the nice thing about stones is that if they're sized properly, they last forever, or at least they last for much longer than timber does before deteriorating. So that's gonna be the last part of the bulkhead, and that's the side that's facing northwest. And then as we talked about for the actual wharf, we're gonna install two of these They're like portable fishing stations. They're not portable because you don't move them, but they'll be bolted down. So there won't be any kind of new construction happening on the wharf. They'll just come with this, a piece similar like this, and bolt it down to the existing pier. And this kind of just formalizes, it's got some rod holes, it's got a railing you can lean and fish on, and just kind of providing amenities for the people who use this to fish. So schedule-wise, we're doing what's called design development, which is about 60% of the way through with the design, looking to finish in the next few months here, get all of our permits done, and finish the design in the fall.
I'll take over.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And then we hit a bid and award phase at the county. I'm hoping to figure out a way to make that process move faster. You might have heard me talking with this gentleman right here. This project does have a time constriction. We cannot work from mid-February to mid-October. So if we don't meet a permitting and bid and award by probably mid-January, getting mobilized mid-January, it will get delayed until October. That's just per... what, state codes?
MDE and Corps of Engineers regulations.
Yeah.
So the wharf will be closed during that time if that happens?
It'll be closed during construction.
Yeah,
right?
So if construction doesn't get finished by the end of February?
So we wouldn't start construction unless we were able to start and finish construction. So
yeah, but so if push comes to shove and you don't get it done, then throughout the entire summer of 27, that wharf will not be able to be used?
No, the wharf would still be open.
Well, it's closed right now, right?
And
so,
probably tomorrow?
Until mid-July, we have a different project going on there right now. That's a separate project. All right, the construction sequence, we'll be issuing a notice to proceed in a pre-construction meeting. After that, we mobilize, and then it's just an installation, pretty simple process of sediment controls, working on the revetment, installing the fishing stations, and then installing the living shoreline project and the plantings that go inside of it. And then we should have minimal restoration for the disturbed areas. All of the construction is going to be off of the pier and through the water.
Is that a requirement of the bidding?
That's an MDE requirement.
It's an MDE requirement?
Yes. It gets done through a water barge.
Okay.
So now is the time for questions. Just a reminder, if you want to take a picture of this, this will be on OPZ's, this presentation will be on OPZ's website come Monday, probably. So additional questions, up to 14 days to this link, take a picture. You can also email it to this email address. And then the county will send out responses up within 14 days after that. And then that those will also be, so that those responses will be mailed out to everyone who received a mailing for this meeting. And then it'll also be posted on the website. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was hoping to be able to launch my 18-foot rowboat. So it's not a canoe, it's a rowboat. And it comes on a trailer. So will there be parking? I mean, even for on top kayakers. And are there any boat ramps in Anne Arundel County where I could launch a rowboat and maybe park my trailer?
It's a
60-foot trailer.
There are two parking spaces at the end of Cars Wharf Road, but this is not a towed boat launch. This is for launching car top vessels. And there are other boat ramps. There are three public boat ramps that belong to the county. And then the state has boat ramps at Sandy Point State Park for trailer boats.
Yeah, I mean, trailer boats, that's the thing, you know. I mean, we are talking about a rowboat, no motor, no engine, no nothing. Unfortunately, you know, 18 foot to put that on top of my car. I mean, would it be possible to have like limited space for this kind of, for a rowboat that comes on a trailer to park the trailer?
Not at this location, no.
So, and I'll speak a little bit to our car top launches. So across Anne Arundel County, all the car top launches, the basic rule for all of them is no trailers, because usually they're at these small tiny sites where they don't really have room for the trailers.
Yeah, which is why my suggestion would be, you know, to have a special sign made for trailers only, you know, that trailer rowboats.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that's practical in this situation.
We don't even have, there's not enough turnaround space as there is
there
right
is
now.
Not yeah.
And we tried to put in a turnaround for the fire department. We could not get it permitted.
Yeah. If you want to talk more, I can give you my information and we can,
you know,
talk about locations, maybe.
Because I mean, the rowboat is not much different from a canoe, you know, but I can't launch it anywhere because it comes on the trailer. I can park the trailer or, you know, all the, you know, it's...
This, we'll get to you.
No, go ahead, Lloyd.
Okay.
I was going to ask, are you guys back to Discovery Village yet, or are you going to be?
Yeah, but we're talking about the Carr's Wharf project.
No, I understand. I was going to give him a partial answer.
Okay.
That the county had boat launching for trailer boats.
There are three boat launches in the county.
In the county.
Yes, Discovery Village is one of those.
Are they close to this location?
So I would like some clarification on your comment that said that there are two parking spaces on Carr's Wharf. Tell me for clarification what those two spots are on Carr's Wharf.
The ADA parking spaces just been added.
Okay, that's fine. As long as they don't come up the road.
Yeah, we've added parking.
Right.
With
I
the
saw,
current project.
I live right there. Mm-hmm. I live next to these people here. So very familiar with the problem, and even somebody specifically trying to launch a boat today, and they had to back up and go in my driveway, which almost, they took down a post, almost came very close. It probably damaged their car. So I just want a clarification that there's no parking up the street.
There's no parking on Carr's Wharf Road. At least there shouldn't be. I can't control what people do, but...
Trust me, Tiffany and Brennan and I are very familiar with
I'm
it.
Sure you guys.
Do you have our duty ranger number for our rangers?
Yes, I do. Yes. Are you Karen?
I am, yeah.
Karen, I have Chesley, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, you look familiar.
Yeah.
So Brennan and Tiffany Farley, we're neighbors to this pier, and I actually want to go on record. Katie and team have been very forthcoming with information and just very ahead of the curve on this project's coming. Has a very minor piece that affects our part of the bulkhead, but they really sort of walked us through everything in a wonderful way. So thank you to the team. I'll start actually with to related point to what Cindy said. We're going through the same thing right now where the park is closed.
Mm-hmm.
People 15 times a day just ignore the sign at the top of the hill saying road closed. At least 15, and it's almost always a disaster, potentially for us, because they run into our fence, they don't know how to turn around.
Right.
Is there a way to put up a sign that says park closed, you know, something that grabs more attention, because these people are just, they don't believe the sign has anything to do with them at the top of the hill.
We can
look
into
that's
it.
Operations question, we can absolutely talk about that.
That'd be great.
But yeah, I mean, that was actually something I was wondering about, is if you are experiencing that, then we can maybe like beef up the...
Yeah, I mean, it will be, unfortunately, there's a handrail issue, and that has elongated the time frame for some of the pure modifications that were necessary. So yeah, if that's the case, we can definitely get a sign up, whether that's through DRP or DPW, we can figure that out.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
But then the problem becomes, people just don't read the signs.
Yeah, and we can't shut the road down because you guys live on it.
I just assume that that's better. I don't know.
You hope.
Potential options that we can help to divert a little bit, but.
Because it's just hard. They go down, oh, look at that, the sign meant me, and then they have to back up the entire way.
And especially if they have a trailer.
Yeah, so.
Is it list, excuse me for interrupting, since it's really a very small intimate group here, is it listed that no trailers can go down? Because even after it's open, you cannot believe the trailers that go down there.
I don't know that we have that sign. I'm sure that that is, I know we added signage.
Yeah, but that would be up to traffic if ask highways.
Well, as long as, Nestor seemed amenable to signage so long as it met the standards. So I'm sure there's a no trailer sign.
The problem is the signs you have now are at the waterfront.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People drive all the way down and then they find out no trailer, boat.
I think we, I'm not sure.
You almost need a sign out on Central Avenue.
You need a sign at the head of the road.
And
that
I think,
says,
I know we added,
no trailers.
I know we added signage as part of this project at the top of the hill at Central Avenue. Like at, not Central Avenue.
No,
at the weird turn.
Yeah, but no, you added the sign that says park closed or road closed. But operationally, after all this work is done, these people are still faced with yin-yangs bringing trailers down. So you need to have something that says no trailers.
Lloyd, did you ever bring that up at ACOMS with the Public Works?
It has been brought up there.
I'm
going to
look
something
up real quick. I haven't heard it.
You haven't heard it?
No, so. Yeah, we brought it up when we were first discussing this project. Those were the two big issues. Vultures spreading garbage all around, which you guys took care of immediately after Ledbetter asked you to. And then
so
the other one was trailer
is
boat
a,
boats.
It's still tough for them on Mondays. It's tough, but they come in and
no,
clean it up.
There is a no, so traffic is the one that gets to make the calls on that because it's a county road, which is a different department than my department. However, I can ask if we can add a no trailer sign. Mind you, it's going to be the standard MTU, NUTD, ED sign that's used throughout the country, but it'll be a no trailer sign. We might be able to get you guys one or two, but I don't know, you know, unfortunately people don't read signs a lot
Bruce
of the time.
Bruce is right, they don't pay attention to them.
Yeah.
That's the sad
thing. That's unfortunately the reality.
Regarding your expected usage, maybe from your experience doing something similar, do you expect that the fishermen, will then be on the rocks and will be going out there? I would expect they would be. Is that your expectation as well?
I mean, we would never encourage them to be on those rocks. It's not safe. And it's not that wide. So it's only going to be, 3 feet. Some of the other county parks, I know, at Mayo, there were signs that were put off that said stay off rocks. So if that's...
We need to add some signage to the project. I think we can manage that. Maybe we incorporate some no climbing on the rocks.
Yeah, correct.
Our personal issue is people walking all the way around and they're in our backyard.
So that I'm less concerned about, because if you go to the the one right before this one, so even if someone, like this, unfortunately, they could, it's so small, but if they were adventurous enough and the tide was low, they could potentially get up on the rocks and walk here.
Yeah.
But even if they, then this is all marsh area, so they really don't have anywhere. Unless everything goes well, this will be nice, dense marsh vegetation within a couple, a year or so.
Okay.
So then it kind of stops them. They don't really have anywhere to go.
Because this is 28 feet?
Yeah, it's about 20 feet
of
a gap. So, they shouldn't be able to get, they can walk on this stone potentially, but any of the other stone they shouldn't be able to reach. And then this whole marsh is super densely vegetated, so it's hard to walk.
Revetment will probably be slippery from being wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they walk everywhere.
They do. We have a neighbor next on the other side, and she has the Rock's Choice, and she's had to put up a great big barrier because they walk through the rocks and then walk over to her pier. And it is a problem.
Okay.
So just, I don't know what your liability is in case somebody walks on those rocks.
But maybe for you, the thing to do is to add a no, like private property sign.
Somewhere in the water.
Somewhere along that.
Near the edge.
Yeah. And then,
yep.
You know.
Karen, what's your experience controlling people on the rocks at your parks?
Pardon me?
I was asking Karen.
Karen.
Because I see kids out there all the time.
It's a daily struggle.
And you use park rangers to do it?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
But
do
I mean,
have to go to police?
No.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
No, people, I mean, once you talk to them, they get off.
Right.
At least at the park.
Until the ranger leaves and they get back.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
She's got a lot more rock out in front of those two parks, Beverly Triton and Mayo Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive out there bird watching all the time. And during the summer, there are people all over the rocks.
Yeah.
Not only just fishermen, but kids climbing around and so forth.
Former kid who climbed the rocks in a river. Fully.
But you wouldn't have gone the 28-foot.
I would not go on this. I would not go on that personally.
And really, it's that narrow.
I think that, yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty clumsy person.
No.
So I don't think I would go on this, you know.
Like the rocks at like Mayo Beach are like seven feet wide, whereas this is three.
Okay.
So hopefully that gives people pause when they're looking at that.
Yeah, that's.
But yes, you're right. I mean, it's a concern.
Quick question on the pier. Just curious. You're going to, I've been out there. I've seen all these holes and all these caps. So you're going to replace those caps or you're just going to put a flat something that they like a piece of copper that people usually you do. I mean, get rid of this conical
replacing
thing
it kind
where
they
punch a hole in it.
I mean, we had assumed to replace them with the cone-shaped white ones that were out
there. Well, they'll just punch holes in them again.
Well, the hope is that if they have somewhere to put their rod now.
They put trash in there, too. It's not just for
that. Unless you put rod holders the entire length of the pier. I don't know. You'd probably need to go down there some summer day and take a look at it. There'd be, it's 50 people on that pier.
Yeah.
Crabbing and fishing the entire length of it.
We can look at replacing those pop caps.
So yeah. I would suggest.
I think it's included, but we might want to do flat top.
Some kind of a flat top
okay.
So they can't damage it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people will do.
It truly is.
They
never
destroyed
ceases
the life saving equipment out there.
Yes.
A boat back into the end of the pier. It's just all kinds of stuff.
We fixed that.
Yeah, I know you did, but it's just.
His insurance company paid for it.
People are people.
To put a question on the record, it is a very dense marsh. A lot of it is an invasive, I'll call it weed, I guess, Phragmites. Is there a plan / hope to get rid of this invasive thing so better stuff can come in?
I'll leave that to Bruce and Emma to answer.
There's an argument about what's invasive and what
right.
Is there forms of frag that are not, that are native.
There is a lot of debate like in the community about Phragmites. It's still generally, you're right, it's still generally considered invasive and even a concern with the regular, planting native marsh so close to it, there's concern it'll come over. So, you know, we're looking at trying to add a buffer a little bit to prevent that. But no, I mean, getting rid of Phragmites completely would require like a full excavation so you get all the roots that are really deep down and replacing with new stuff, with like new 2 feet of new fill and then planting on top of that to make sure it's gone. There's treatment options that are sometimes successful, sometimes not successful, but generally, it's big efforts to just manage the Phragmites, especially in such a dense area as this.
So we're on the other side
mm-hmm.
of this, and I can tell you, we've only lived there 2.5-3 years. It encroached 20 feet in 3 years.
Yeah.
So we finally, it's in our land from your land, so we started fighting it back.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think about it, your yellow, my prediction would be that it'll all be Phragmites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do.
So we may end up having to maybe leave a little bit of a buffer or, you know, kind of try to figure out what to do along the shoreline to create an area where it's not going to jump over and come in. So that's something that's going to, I think, be addressed. And the regulatory agencies also brought it up during the permitting process. So we're going to work with them to figure out what's the best approach.
Any other questions? Going once, going twice. All right, I have to do the obligatory follow us at DPW. And also, if you ever have any questions about who to contact, here's some contact information for general inquiries. No, but seriously, thank you for coming out. If you have any more questions, you can take a picture of the screen or find it on OPC's website and submit a question for the next 17 days, not 14, because tomorrow is a holiday. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for coming out.
Can I ask a current project?
Sure.
So just to make sure, it's all it is the guardrail. I've seen those poor guys. They must have come out four times for some reason.
They do it right.
Yes, that's all. As far as I am aware.